So today we're going to talk about 360 feedback. As a consultant, I get asked for this every once in a while. It's also one of the few things I remember from university. And here we are on the HR Hub podcast with me, Andrea Adams. Keep listening to learn about this and anything related to HR. You can also find me on YouTube. So today my guest is Joe Ayubi. Joe is a consultant in the UK, and she's the co-founder of Track 360 Feedback, which is a feedback consultancy and software platform focused on 360 feedback. She's been doing this work for quite a while, and I really look forward to learning all of the things she knows about this. I'm pretty sure, Joe, that there is not a question I'm going to be able to stump you with.
Well, Andrea, why don't you try? Let's see how we
go. We'll give it a go. I know we have, perhaps, if we have time, a firing line planned.
Right. Yes.
Right? So then we'll really find out. Okay. But to start off at the very beginning, what is the 360?
Well, just before I say that, Andrea, thank you for inviting me to speak, to chat to you on HR Hub. What is 360? Very simply, it is a way of getting feedback and insights from more than one person. And we're talking specifically about the workplace here. So feedback from a number of different people. The idea being that it's more valuable, gives you a broader view if you have observations and feedback from more than one person.
I'm sure there's lots of research out there. Is it actually more valid than your basic performance review performed by your leader?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the research, obviously the line manager, the individual that is supervising, the line manager, leader, whoever, obviously their feedback is very important, particularly around performance review. So the stuff that you actually do.
Right.
Where the 360 adds additional value is around those things that are harder to measure. And the things that, for example, the line manager, the supervisor might not see. Mm-hmm. So it may very well be that you are delivering your deliverables, whether they're financial, whether they are sales, whatever it is that your job is. But there's also an important part in the workplace these days of how you actually do that. What other people see, what do the people that report to you experience? So you may be delivering, but you may be creating an awful lot of toxic behavior. You may be demotivating people, or you may be doing those things that you need to do to engage your people. So that's why in today's workplace, you need that additional point of view. So it may be the people that report to you. It may be your peers. And we often behave differently, sometimes subtly, sometimes not so subtly, with different people and people that we have different working relationships with. So the 360 is a way of capturing that variety, but also the common themes that come through from everyone that you work with.
You alluded to a whole variety of reasons. When we first talked, you alluded to a whole variety of reasons why we might do this. Are there any other reasons?
If you think of it as, in essence, a data collection tool. So what it's doing is it's collecting data, first of all, for me as an individual in the workplace. So it's providing me with insights into areas that I might not be that clear about. I might think that I'm, for instance, let's say, developing my team very well. I might think I'm doing that really well. But when the feedback comes back, it may be saying that there's other things I need to do more of or do better. It's also a data collection tool for the organization. I think that's really important because by gathering data on those things that are harder to measure, so we can do sales, we can do productivity, we can do KPIs, but things like how well I'm delegating, particularly when we're talking about diversity, when including other people, how well are we doing those things? And with our work, we always focus on observable behaviors. So It may be that, you know, I'm a champion of diversity, but actually, what do I do, or what does my team do around enabling that? So do I help people to talk in meetings? Do I give everyone the opportunity to have a development discussion with me equally? Do I treat people equally? So all of those, and that's why I'm very much an advocate of feedback that's particularly behaviorally based. I don't want to know about whether you think someone's an extrovert or an introvert. I'm not interested in people's opinions. It's not, for me, it's not a, some sort of a psychometric or, you know, I actually want to know what people see and how frequently they see those. And that's actually evidence of what's happening in the workplace.
I'm thinking about some of my clients and the values that they want to embed in their culture. Yes. So collaboration, innovation, caring. Can we measure something like caring?
Absolutely. And what's becoming more important is that side of the measurement. So how do we know what values are actually being demonstrated and acted out? And actually, the 360 is one of the few ways that you can really get some evidence for that. So what we would work with would be, so caring consists of a number of different things that you can see that somebody is caring or that they're not. Now, that might be already defined for that organization. They might have already described what that looks like in their particular, if we talk HR, then we're talking competency frameworks, talking leadership frameworks, management, all of those things. Yes. So we may have already started to look at what those look like. When we're doing performance reviews, what behaviors are we looking at? So caring, if we go back to caring again, it may be that I have one-to-ones on a regular basis, that I listen, that I ask for feedback, that I take into account the individual's situation, that I make sure I understand what's going on for them personally, that I understand what their career ambitions are, what their development, what they'd like to develop for themselves. So all of those things are building up into, actually, Joe is interested in me, how I'm doing, or not.
Yeah. It really comes down to, though, I'm seeing that one of the major steps of this is going to be defining each of the variables you're going to measure in the 360. But that is actually, it sounds a little bit like implementation. That may be a different episode. I should stay on track. I alluded to the research. What does it say? You answered that question about its effectiveness?
The research around effectiveness says there's a couple of key things. And there's a very good research paper that brings together the key things. It's actually on our website, which I will give you the details more later.
I will look into it.
But the key things are relevance. So the important thing about the 360, it needs to be relevant to the organization. Now, you can get off-the-shelf 360s, which are fantastic tools, and they're very good when an individual is going through a coaching journey, say. Okay, so they're great. Yeah. Now, if you are trying to build a culture, we talked about a culture in the organization, and you want to get consistency, so you want those values to be demonstrated by everybody, particularly on the leadership side, then they need to be relevant to the organization. So what else? The other areas for the research that shows that it's more effective, or it can be very effective, is, for example, making sure you have enough information for everyone so they engage with it. So if there's no use in creating a 360, implementing it, but people not understanding what it's for and how it's going to work, what the anonymity is going to be about, can they trust the process, who else is going to see my feedback. So being really upfront about what it's for and what we're trying to achieve. And the other key thing, and I found a lot in my work, is to follow the 360 up with regular conversations, development points coming out of the feedback. And I've worked with organizations where they say, we're just going to give people their reports and they can do what they want with them. We're not going to tell them what to do. And that's okay, but sometimes that report will get put away and forgotten about. And it's really important that the 360 is part of a bigger conversation. And I think that also the other part about effectiveness, and the research shows, a conversation with the line manager, with a coach, with a mentor, really makes it come alive. And it's really important to somehow, you know, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. So it doesn't have to be external, although, of course, that's fine. But a conversation, a debrief, what's this feedback about? What's it telling me, is so important. So the research shows that if you put a 360 out there, it may build some self-awareness, but it's actually the outcome of that, what you do with that, that's actually really critical to make the change in behavior that you're trying to make, which is what it's all about in the end.
What are some misconceptions about 360s that you run into?
Yeah, you asked me this to prepare for this, so I had to think a little bit about this, what comes up from time to time. So one of the misconceptions is that it is, as I've said, a psychometric tool. So this is not about personality or how I respond in particular situations. As I said, it's about observable behaviors and how frequently I am seen doing those behaviors. It's really quite that simple. And therefore, when we design 360 questions or projects for clients, we try to take them away from, as I've said, big ideas, you know, Joe is a great leader, or, you know, Joe leads effectively. That could mean so many things. That can be,
yes,
that depends on what those definitions are that the person who is responding is thinking about. And, you know, we all have a different idea of what that means. But that's one thing. So I think for me, it's mostly important, it's an observation tool and a data collection tool more than anything. Another misconception, and I get this from time to time, is people contact me and they say, we have a problem person in the team. Nobody wants to confront them or talk to them, including their boss or the board, or nobody wants to go there. So let's do a 360 feedback on them. And I use that wording specifically. Let's do a 360 on them. And then that means nobody has to have the conversation. And of course, that is fraught with problems.
Okay. So normally I'm like, oh, yes, clearly someone's just not doing the job, like the leader, right?
Yeah.
The leader's leader. But in this instance, you know, a problem leader can, you know, when faced with that feedback from one person, can say, nah, you know, you don't like me. But faced with that feedback from a number of people, a little bit more difficult to refute, isn't it?
It is. But if they know that they're the only person that's being asked to go through this process, and if the people that are giving them feedback know that they're the only person that's going through it, then we kind of know what's going on. that's not such a good thing. But you're right. If it's part of a wider, let's say, a regular feedback that other people are going through, so maybe everyone at that level or everyone in that team, then that's okay. That's fine. And as you say, you can say, well, actually, quite a few people have given this feedback. But it still doesn't take away from the responsibility of that person's boss to have that conversation, because ultimately they can bat it away if they choose to. And if the feedback is not what they want to hear, then there may be some resistance to that, particularly if they're the sort of person that is not pulling along with everyone else.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's a tricky one, but I just want to be careful of and not use it as a punishment tool and not for it to become something that, oh gosh, if you're told you need a 360 are going to do, there must be something wrong. So only the bad guys get 360.
Right. Your company also is a platform, a software platform. What is the role of technology in this?
The role of technology is an enabler. So it's about making the process easy for the organization to set up and administer. And because we've been doing this a long time, so we've been doing 360 on our platform, developing our platform for over 20 years. And so we've developed it based on our experience working with clients. And so our clients ask for different things, and we put those things in place to make the process easier to manage, but also to make it really seamless for the people that are using it. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. So it's very simple. It's got to be simple. You don't want to have loads of emails going all over the place to different forms and all of that. So we keep it very simple. And we keep developing it. So, for example, we now, people can now get their feedback requests and complete feedbacks on Teams on the chat. So instead of having emails and all of that stuff, you can just get your request in your chat and it's right there. You can do it and it's done. So the technology is really making it as easy and simple as possible and quick for people to engage with.
Right.
And then on the reporting side, making that easy so that the data is reported quickly and in a way that people are going to be able to use it well.
Right. How do you protect the identity of people giving the feedback?
Very good question. Well, normally the structure 360 consists of items or statements that are rated. Like it can be just text feedback, or it can be just ratings. But the best combination, and again, that's also shown in the research, is to have both rating and also written feedback. So the ratings feedback is protected because the reporting is based on the relationships, the working relationships. So my report might show the feedback from my peers, but in a group. So it won't show from individuals. It will show the average ratings from all my peers, the average rating from all my direct reports for every statement. And broadly, that means that we don't know who those ratings are coming from. The line manager is usually identified, and that's fine. That's best practices. Yeah. And then when it comes to written feedback, again, the written feedback is anonymized and it's shown out of order. So it's shown, it's mixed up together. So mm-hmm. You don't know who said what. You do have, and we always upfront say, look, if somebody gives a specific example of a particular project or situation, it may identify your feedback in the written feedback. So you've just got to be aware of that. But the system and the platform is developed to keep those things anonymous.
Okay. Can we try our firing line?
Yeah, go for it.
First question, when setting up your 360 around an individual, how many people should have input into that individual's feedback?
Between 6 and 10, ideally.
Wow, that's so many. I thought it was like 4. No.
Well, 4 is okay. But I would say you get a better breadth of feedback if you have between 6 and 10.
Okay.
And bear in mind also that you may have feedback from different groups, peers, direct reports. So with a minimum of 3 for each one of those for anonymity.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
Who should the people be?
The people should be, line manager.
Yeah.
Always. Always direct reports. And I think this is really important. Sometimes our clients say, well, let them just get feedback from 2 out of their direct reports or 6 of their direct reports. But you've got to ask all the direct reports, because otherwise, well, why is my boss asking so the person next to me and not me? And that creates bad feeling. So always ask all the direct reports. They may not all respond, but ask them all. Peers, ideally, half a dozen peers, maybe ask 4, 5, 6 people. You might get 3 of those back, in which case you've got a good piece of feedback. because you won't, not everybody will always respond for whatever reason.
So what about customers or something like that?
Yeah. Customers and clients can be asked as well. And the best practice with that is to let them know that that's going to happen. So if I know that I can ask my customer for feedback, then I should let them know in advance that that request is going to come through out of courtesy so that they know what's happening. Also, other people in the organization that I might not have a working, like a line relationship with, but people I might have worked with on projects and people in my support area who helped me out, all of those people are in a good position to give feedback, but not people that I haven't spoken to for 12 months. That's the other thing. People that I've worked with in the last few months that can actually give me some valuable feedback.
Next question. Do you let the person being rated or evaluated pick the people who are going to evaluate them?
Yes and no. Just to confuse things. No. What my recommendation is always that the people who are in a formal relationship should all be asked.
Okay.
And then if I want to ask more people, I have the option to do that.
Should all the reviewers ask the same question, be asked the same questions?
Most of the time, yes. But you also need to be aware that if people are, for example, in a completely different working situation, some of the feedback questions might not be relevant. So if that's the case, you can ask them different questions. And again, that's where technology helps, because if you've got the technology, if you've got the platform, you can quite easily do that. You can gather it from it on different areas. Yeah.
So the final firing line question, what are the different applications of 360? Like, who are your clients?
Oh, right. Well, who are our clients? They're all kinds of organizations. Professional services like lawyers and accountants and IT services, so technical type companies. We have a range of telecoms companies in the Middle East that we work with. Aside from that, very important around development. So for where you've got a development program across the organization, I think we said earlier on, where you are putting a set of skills and behaviors in across the organization, then you link that, the 360, to that, and then you can measure the outcome. You can actually see how the changes are happening that you want to see, because you're measuring it with the 360.
Yeah.
Sorry, just to finish to answer the other part of your question, assessment for potential roles as well. So again, if you have, you know, you've defined what those areas are you want people to reach, then you can start to measure where they are and whether they have the potential or the interest to actually go for those roles later on. So it can be quite useful.
So my final question always is, where can someone learn more?
Well, if they want to go to our website, the first place to go is tracksurveys.com.
Okay.
And that will take you to our consulting page. And from there, you can go on to our platform, our Track 360 platform page, which is the software side. And on that site, there are blogs, various articles that we've put together that answer a lot of those questions. Mm-hmm. And alternatively, you can go and find me on LinkedIn. I do a fair bit of content on LinkedIn, hopefully relevant, interesting stuff around 360 and feedback in general. So yeah, that's the easiest way. And if people want to contact me, that's probably the quickest way, is to just message me on LinkedIn.
Well, thanks, Joe. That was really helpful. There's just so much we can do to make the process more effective, and so much we can learn from that kind of investment of time and energy. However, we can't talk about it anymore. We have reached the end of this episode. Thanks for listening out there, and we'll catch you next time when I talk with another insightful guest.